This is Mothman.
And I thought, Lord, what can I do? This thing is here. This evil presence. And I turned my head to the right. I mean, I can still feel that, really. And there, this, to me, it was the devil, Mothman, standing there. And I tried to talk, and I couldn't. It was this awful, horrible feeling.
It did build in a crescendo. You know, there were more and more people looking for it. Word was getting out. So yeah, there was a kind of a media frenzy.
He saw that he wasn't losing it by going faster, and so he saw the turn that goes up into the TNT factory building. And I guess it come in his head at split second. If he turned up in there, it would keep going straight. But it didn't. He made that sharp turn, and it was still right there beside my window.
The Mothman of Point Pleasant. Who's an expert on that? Well, we have with them on the line this morning Seth Breedlove, who made the documentary about this. We talked to you when it was first being put together. Now it's going to be seen by a lot of folks. And you were termed a Mothman expert on a Tokyo program. Tell me a little bit about that, Seth.
Yeah, that was the most random occurrence that's happened to us yet. We got a phone call from Tokyo Broadcast System, which is apparently one of the biggest networks over in Japan. And they were putting together this TV show where they were going to go hunt for the Mothman. And they said they needed a Mothman witness. And I said, well, you know, I directed a documentary. I don't know that I can be considered an expert. But nonetheless, they put us on the show. My entire crew was actually on the show. And they took us out into the TNT factory area in Point Pleasant. We spent, I think, 5 days down in Point Pleasant with this crew, going out every night into the park down there and looking for Mothman. Not finding anything, but nonetheless, we were down there for 5 days looking around for Mothman with this Japanese film crew. And that's the story, man. It was an experience. Of all the experiences we've had, that's one of the strangest.
Well, take us back to the Mothman of Point Pleasant. We're talking West Virginia, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
What's the genesis for this? How did it get started?
The original story that inspired everything were these two couples that were driving on this back road one night, encountered this glowing, red-eyed, flying a creature. Now, the name Mothman came along because a local news reporter was just trying to find something to connect it to visually, and happened to be watching the Adam West Batman show, and there was a villain on that show called the Moth, and he decided to term this creature the Mothman. But whatever it was a, according to the witnesses, it was this glowing red-eyed flying demon that chased them on this back road one night. And following that, other sightings began occurring all around the Point Pleasant area. And it was kind of accompanied by this wave of UFO sightings and a lot of other bizarre activity. And that's what our film kind of chronicles, is everything that happened in the 13-month span of time between the first Mothman sighting and the final sightings that led up to the collapse of the Silver Bridge in 1967.
And of course, you make movies about, well, your production company, Small Town Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so
we started out with the Minerva Monster documentary, which was a locally made, obviously, Ohio film. And since then, we've gone on to make four more movies following Minerva Monster. We've got another coming out October 20th called Invasion on Chestnut Ridge, which is kind of an anthology movie. It's one of the first anthology kind of things we've done. It's this collection of bizarre stories from the Chestnut Ridge in Pennsylvania. And we have another production crew up at, actually they're on their way home now, but that we had another crew at Lake Champlain over the weekend making a kind of an actual In Search Of style documentary about the lake monster that supposedly lives in Lake Champlain. So we stay busy.
I always find it interesting that in some of these sort of true life monsters that are out there, there's always newspaper reporting that's sort of attached to it, which kind of lends to some credibility. I don't know if that even exists sort of today, but it always seems fascinating that there's, at some point, somebody called the police, there was a police report and a follow-up and maybe a description of what becomes these legendary monsters.
Yeah, and that's actually what got me into all this, because I wrote for newspapers for 8 years. And when I first started looking into, like, Bigfoot reports and stuff, I was like, I wonder if there's any sort of documented history of this kind of thing. We found sighting reports of bizarre creatures from around the United States going back to the early 1800s. So, I mean, this has always been in newspapers and journalism. This has always been a subject that kind of fascinates people. And it does lend an air of credibility to a lot of the stories. I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with some 1800s journalism, you got to approach it a little skeptically, but a lot of these stories, you know, they'll have eyewitness names, and you can backtrack that and corroborate that those people were there, they did exist, and that kind of thing. And definitely with the Mothman story especially, it was well documented in papers all over the state of Ohio, especially the Athens Messenger was one of the biggest that kind of continually was covering the stories. There was a reporter there named Mary Heyer, and she lived in Point Pleasant, but she worked out of Athens, and she constantly was keeping people updated on not just the Mothman sightings, but all the UFO activity. And we call it high strangeness that was occurring in the Ohio Valley during that time.
Seth, you mentioned the Mothman and the collapse of a bridge. How might the two be related?
Yeah, I don't personally feel they are, but when the bridge collapsed, the sightings east. And that bridge collapse, the Silver Bridge collapse, was one of the first kind of man-made disasters to happen in the United States. It was definitely the biggest at the time. 47 people died. And when you're dealing with a town, you know, that's only 6,000-7,000 between Gallipolis and Point Pleasant, everyone knew someone that died on that bridge. And when that bridge collapsed, it kind of culminated in the ending of those Mothman reports from around the area. Now, sightings have continued of the Mothman. There's a flap, what we call a flap, going on in the Chicago area right now, actually, of some sort of flying. People are calling it a Mothman-type creature. But that kind of, for Point Pleasant, that seemed to be kind of the end of those Mothman sightings.
We're talking today with Seth Breedlove, who is put together, produced, director. How do you consider yourself? Documentarian? Are you the producer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a documentarian. I'm a filmmaker. I've directed all five of these movies. I've edited the last four. It's a small crew, so we kind of do everything. There's guys on my crew that have done lighting, sound, shot the movie, helped edit. I mean, it's a smaller crew, but Mothman's definitely got the biggest kind of crew behind it as well. We've got a guy that did fully painted animated sequences on this one, and CGI, and we've gone on, we've kind of built this stable of people who want to be involved, and we've lucked out in that way. The movies are starting to reach like a ridiculous production value that I don't think normally is possible with movies that are, you know, have a budget under $8,000.
Now you're going to be also part of the Mothman of Festival. This now,
right.
Craig. You know, we did Craig and I were talking last hour because I went to some place in Pennsylvania and Atlas Obscura and all these other places have interesting things going on. This one is also featured there about the statue they've got, which people probably take a lot of pictures with. There's also a museum there. I guess artifacts might be in there. But your movie is going to be a part of this festival coming up in September. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the festival's huge. It's actually the second largest festival in the state of West Virginia. They had 12,000 people last year. There were so many people you could hardly cross Main Street where everything goes on. But they shut down the whole downtown area of Point Pleasant, and the Mothman Festival is this probably two or three blocks long, basically a mini fair. You know, there's rides and everything, but there's also speakers who talk about cryptids and the Mothman and tell their personal perspective on the history of the story. And then the Mothman Museum's open. There's all kinds of vendors selling interesting stuff. We'll be there. That's where the official first public screening of the movie will take place. The movie's been out since June 2nd, but the first time it's going to be seen on the big screen by a large crowd. We wanted that to be in Point Pleasant, so when the Mothman Festival rolls around, which is the third weekend in September, that'll be the first kind of large audience gathering that gets to see it in one time. But the movie's done really well. I mean, it was the number one documentary on Amazon for four weeks straight on Amazon, and it was in the top 10 on the new release category list. So we've been extremely fortunate with this one.
Well, anytime you can rank up there with the Star Wars Rogue One, that's not bad company.
No, not at all.
Absolutely. You mentioned you're working on another one, and then how do you kind of come up with, where do you decide to focus your camera next, I guess?
Yeah, it's for this one, for the one we're working on now, the one I'm currently editing, it was a matter of logistics. My wife was having a baby in April, and I knew I didn't want to travel too far away, and there was a story in Pennsylvania only about 2.5 hours away that we wanted to do. But honestly, the way we typically approach picking a movie is kind of twofold. We want a story that we feel kind of an emotional pull to. So usually that has to do with the people that are, you know, involved more so than the monster story. And then we also try to keep the geography changing, so people are seeing different scenery. You know, we've made movies in New York and West Virginia and Arkansas. So we're always trying to keep things kind of changing visually. So that plays a part in it too. And like I said, we're working on this Pennsylvania movie, but we have another, for the first time ever, we're kind of bringing in another crew to make a movie separate from myself and the guys I usually work with. And that's going to be called On the Trail of Champ. And that's up in New York on Lake Champlain. So we're just trying to expand, I guess, over the coming year and kind of grow beyond just a tiny little independent production house into something that's a little more legit, I guess you would call it.
Oh, don't say that. Come on. We like the way things are. It's called Small Town Monsters. It's not
right.
Big Town Monsters. I mean, King Kong is not part of this. So
No. Our goal is to maintain the kind of independent spirit we've had all along, but to be able to do some of the things that larger scale production houses are doing, like bring in friends that want to make movies about these subjects as well and fund their movies and stuff like that.
Right. I've heard different points of views and just different styles, I guess, that come from the person who's directing it and putting it together. Our guest this morning, Seth Breedlove, again, smalltownmonsters.com. You can find out more as well. And if you make your way down to Point Pleasant in the third weekend of September, you probably see him down there as part of the Mothman Festival that they have. Seth, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.